Thank you so much. We have been blessed in so many ways, even if we are just people who live here in America, in the United States. And God, it's an amazing thing when you begin to travel around the world, the things that we take for granted and we expect are far from the norm around the rest of the world. And so God, we thank you for that. But more than that, God, we thank you for the fact that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ. You've given us the ability to have a freedom, an experience, a freedom in relationship with you that so many in the world around us don't have. And God, I pray that our passion as a body of Christ, as a church, will be to help as many people discover freedom in Christ as possible. And Father, we thank you so much for that. And I just pray that today, as we dive into your word to learn about what it means to be grateful and how we can do it, I pray that you'd open up our hearts, you'd open up our minds, and you'd open up our abilities to be able to respond to you. And we thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a series called You Decide, and we're talking about perspective and how we look at things. And when two people look at the same thing, depending upon their perspective, it will determine what they actually see. Some people can see something positive, another person can see something negative, and even another person can see something just as kind of a neutral thing. And it's all about perspective. We talked about being encouraging. We talked about being optimistic. Today, we're going to talk about the fact that we as people of God should be grateful. And the statements that we're making is I'm. So I'm encouraging, I'm optimistic, and I'm grateful. So really quick, we're going to say it together. I'm grateful. Here we go. One, two, three. Okay, so now you may not believe that in your heart. You may be like, I don't know that I'm really thankful for all these things. Gratefulness is just a big word that means you have a thankful heart. You have a thankful attitude. Those of you that have kids, have you ever said that to your kids? Why don't you have a thankful heart? I clothe you, I feed you, I give you all this stuff, and you're complaining because, you know, you didn't get the robot you wanted, whatever. Or you didn't get the right fireworks for the 4th of July. And so you're like, man, just have a thankful heart. So there's a passage of Scripture that we're going to begin with. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. And I think this is really such a powerful passage when it comes to being thankful or grateful. And I just want to read that for you this morning. All people spend their lives scratching for food. So the writer is Solomon. He's the wisest, the richest, most powerful man that ever lived. And he writes these words. He says, listen, we spend the entirety of our human existence trying to just survive. You know, we're trying to make money so that we can feed our kids. We're trying to be able to put a house, you know, over their head. We're trying to make sure we don't drop them on their head when they're small. You know, we're just trying to make it through everyday life. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're tall or short, whether you're skinny or fat or athletic. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat, is what he's saying. We all do it. And he goes and he says this, but they never seem to have enough. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, no, if I had. But here's the thing. Do you realize that your if I had always changes? It's a moving target. I'm sure when you were, 16 or 17, and you thought to yourself, if I just have the perfect man, or if I just have the perfect woman, my life will be complete. And then you got married, and you're like, you're sitting there going, well, yeah, but I didn't marry the perfect man. Well, you thought you did, though, right? And you started down that road, and you're like, if I had that, I'll be happy. And you get that, and then you discover, guess what? Now you need this to be happy. If I have enough money, if I just have a savings account that has three figures in it, I'll be happy. Then you have a savings account with three figures, and guess what? Now you're going, well, if I have a savings account with four figures, then I'll be happy. Your if never, if I had, will never, it never stays the same. It constantly is a moving goal that you're trying to get to. And so what Solomon says is, listen, we're all in the same boat. We're all trying to make it through life. But here's the problem. As we try to get enough, enough is never enough. And so we're constantly trying to get more and more and more, and we never find satisfaction. He says, so, are the wise people really better than fools? In other words, he goes, we're all in the same boat. So are the smart people better than the dumb people? Are the people that make good decisions better than the people that make bad decisions? Because we're all in the same boat. We never can have enough. He says, do poor people gain anything by being wise and knowing how to act in front of other people? So he's throwing out all these things. He's like, listen, okay, maybe you're smart, maybe you're not smart, maybe you actually know how to not be an idiot in front of other people, or maybe you just ever, you know, it's kind of that old expression, you know, better be thought to be a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. And, you know, all these different things. And so he says, listen, is it really matter, or are we all kind of just in the same boat here? And then he says this, and I love this, is enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. He says, y'all, we're all in the same boat. We keep trying to chase after things, and it's never enough. You could be a multi-billionaire, but you know what? You're going to still want more because you're never going to be satisfied. So here's the key. Enjoy what you have. Whatever you have right now, whatever's in your bank account, whatever's in your house, whatever kind of house you have, whatever kind of car you drive, whatever kind of property you have or don't have, whatever, enjoy what you have. Find joy and fulfillment in what you have right now. And you know what you'll discover? You'll discover that you actually can find joy in that place, in that moment, in that environment. You can find joy no matter where you are. That's why sometimes you will meet people, especially if you travel around the world, that have really nothing. They live and they're dirt poor. And you begin a conversation with them and they are so joyful because they're so thankful for what they have. They're not worried about what they don't have. But we here, you know, kind of grown up in America and that type of thing, we've got this idea of more is always better, right? Remember Tim the Toolman Taylor, right? More power. So you always have to have more, 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 more. And so we have this mindset that has been kind of almost slid right into our brain and our thinking. And so we believe that more, more, more is always the answer. But the problem is, if more, more, more is the answer, that answer will never, ever be satisfied. And so you will, like Solomon says, you will be scratching and clawing your whole life to try to get ahead, but it will never be enough. So the key is, be happy, be joyful with what you have instead of longing for what you don't. And I'll tell you, this is a really important thing that has both parts to it. And that's what the big idea today is, because we can always say enjoy what you have, right? You should enjoy what you have. But there's also another part to it. It's not just that I will be grateful for what I have, but you have to be grateful for what you have instead of craving what you don't. So that's the big idea. If you missed everything else I said today, don't miss this. This is so important that if we are going to be grateful people, this has to be the theme in our mind. I am grateful for what I have instead of craving what I don't. You ever laid in bed at night and you thought about all the things that you don't have? Not a very restful night's sleep, is it? But yet if you go to bed and you start being thankful and you start being grateful for all that you have a very nice sleep usually, unless you ate anchovies late, then all bets are off. That's all on you. But we're to be grateful for what we have. And if we as Christians, if we as people who want to follow God, literally can choose to constantly be grateful for what we have instead of constantly craving what we don't, we will find a wonderful balance in being able to enjoy life. But I'll tell you, this is not a one-and-done type of situation. It's not like you wrote in your notes or on YouVersion or whatever, I'm grateful for what I have instead of craving what I don't. Good, I'm done. I finished that. I'm over with it. We live out in Bargersville area. We have a lot of acreage. And the lady that we bought it from loved flower beds. And when I say love flower beds, I'm not exaggerating by saying we have hundreds of square feet of flower beds wrapping around our house. Multiple tiers, rocks that weigh like 150 pounds. I mean, we couldn't fill it with flowers if we went to Lowe's and bought all of their flowers. I mean, it's just massive around our house. It's just crazy. And I say that they're flower beds, but do you know what grows most effectively in these things? It's weeds. That's exactly right. And we're out in the country, so these are not like city weeds, all right? This is a city weed versus country weed. A city weed, you put a little Roundup on it, it's like, oh, I I can't handle it, and it dies and never comes back. We're talking country weeds, and when I say country, I should have taken a picture. When I say country weeds, we're talking 4 foot or more tall. I have some weeds that are 6 foot tall. I kid you not, and they're 2 weeks old. It's insane. These weeds are so powerful, I guess is the word to say. I have used Roundup on them, which is a three-month, like you put it on, you know, it's supposed to last for 3 months. I've put it on twice in the last month, and they're still coming back. I have weed whacked these things down 3 different times in the last 6 weeks, and they keep coming back. You see, that is the only way that we can maintain these things is every single day we go out and we knock these suckers down back and back and back and back and back. And gratefulness and being grateful is the same exact way. The only way you're ever going to maintain a grateful or a thankful heart is if it becomes a daily routine for you. In fact, I'm going to give you 3 things that you need to constantly be reminding yourself of so that you can be grateful for what you have instead of craving what you don't. And here's the first one. So if we're going to be grateful for what we have instead of craving what we don't, we need to first do this. We need to remind ourselves. I remind myself that every good thing I have came from God. I have to remind myself that every good thing that I have came from God. Now, I can hear immediately in your mind, you're like, no, I worked for that. I go to work 45, 60 hours a week. I've been working at home now. You know, I've got to work with a dog looking over my shoulder and a child hitting my keys. I have worked for everything that I've had. I work long hours. I work late. I have saved money. I've not gone into debt. I've paid everything off. I have earned these good things that I have. And nobody would say, well, that's not true. But here's what we have to actually stop and think about. You, right now, if you are working, have a job. Because you have a job, you need to be thankful for that job. You're like, well, yeah, but I earned that job. Did you earn that job? Well, how did you get that job? Well, because I got a degree in XYZ. Okay, how did you get that degree? Well, I got that degree because I went to college. How did you go to college? Well, my mom and dad paid for it. Or I worked my way through college or whatever. Well, how did you learn those things? How did you graduate? Well, because I have a mind. Oh, really? Where did your mind come from? Oh. You see, sometimes God specifically and directly gives us good things, and other times God gives us the ability to actually obtain good things. And so therefore, we can say with unbelievable confidence that every good thing I have started first with God. Whether it's my ability to produce or directly from His hand to me, every good thing I have came from God. Look at this, James 1. 16 and 17. It says, don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created the lights in the heavens, and He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Now, when I was a kid, I went to a kids' program. It was called Awana. It was an acrostic that stood for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. And I remember trying to memorize this verse and just saying the 2 words together, shifting shadows, is really difficult for an 8-year-old. I'm just saying, it's not, some of you may be like, oh, don't say that too fast. But you can't do that, right? It's a difficult thing. And I always wondered, what does that mean? As I got older, when that verse would come up, I continued to kind of try to research and figure it out. And then probably about 15 years ago, and I was doing a personal study through the book of James, and I came across this. I said, okay, I'm not going to move on until I can figure out what this really means. And I love this when you understand what he's actually talking about. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Now, when you think about, you ever seen a sundial? Right? You ever seen a sundial? And the whole idea of the sundial is that the shadow does what? It moves. Now, the sundial doesn't move, does it? The sun moves. And so that shadow is moving even though the dial isn't moving. And so I love the fact that James writes, listen, not only is God consistent and sturdy like that sundial, but even when the sun moves, God continues to stay consistent, and He doesn't cast a shadow that continues to move where you're not sure where He is or what He's doing. You're not concerned about the fact that His presence is always there. He says He doesn't change. He doesn't move. He doesn't shift. You always know exactly where he is. You may not always know what he's doing, but you know he's always there for you. And the fact is that if he provided for you yesterday, he will provide for you today, and he will provide for you tomorrow, because our God is consistent and faithful. If he was faithful to you yesterday, he'll be faithful to you today. He is constant, and he will always provide for us what we need. And therefore, every day we can say, I remind myself that every good thing I have first came from God. And when we do that, we can look at all of these different things in our lives, even the things that may not be great. And we can say, you know what, God has been faithful in the past. He is faithful right now. He'll be faithful in the future. So I don't have to fear or fret or freak out over what I don't have in this very moment. Because everything that I have that's good first came from God. So we remind ourselves of that. If we remind ourselves of that, then we can be grateful for what we have instead of craving what we don't. The second thing is this. I will not let what I want rob me of enjoying what I have. I will not let what I want rob me of enjoying what I have. This is, I love, this is, of all these three, this is my favorite. I'm not going to lie. I know, like, you know, just like parents, we're not supposed to have favorite points, but this is my favorite point. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. Rob me of enjoying what I have. You ever been down in the dumps and discouraged about something that you didn't have? Maybe it was a car that you needed, or a car that you wanted, or something, or a relationship that didn't go the way that you wanted to, and you almost became consumed with desiring that thing. And then all of the good things in your life that you stopped enjoying are still sitting there. But you're living miserable because of something that you don't have. And so you're consumed with what you don't have, and therefore you can't even enjoy what you do have. It's a paradox that actually it's trips so many of us up, because we get wrapped up in thinking we need X, Y, Z, and therefore we stop enjoying what we already have in front of us that God has said, here, enjoy it. Now, is it wrong to want? No, it's not wrong to want at all. In fact, Jesus Christ himself tells us that we are to pray for the things that we need and the things that we want, what we would like. So it's not wrong to want. So the trick is being able to look forward, to desire to move up, to improve your standing. But what you do is you don't do that in the way that you sacrifice your joy in your current moment and situation. So how do you do that? How do you go, man, I want to be able to continue to improve myself and my life and all these different things, but I also want to be able to enjoy where I currently am and not sacrifice that, not rob my joy in the moment for what is God may have for me in the future. And Paul actually writes about this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He writes these words. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. He's writing to the church at Philippi because they have sent him some things to help him. He says, listen, I'm not saying this because I was in this desperate need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now, if you have paper, if you have a thing, I want you to underline or circle that word content, because that's the key. Now, we're going to keep reading because it's more than just that word. There's an actual context behind it. And that's really important when you read Scripture to always look at the context. He says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And most people end there, because that's the end of the verse. But what's amazing is you've not gotten to the secret yet. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being in content, whether I have everything I need or I have so many wants I can't even make a list about them, because it kind of gets overwhelming. I have learned the secret. The secret is the next verse, where he says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He's talking about Christ. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The secret to contentment is understanding that whatever you need, Christ will provide. That you don't have to constantly be desiring these things or craving these things or going after these things or pursuing these things and therefore robbing yourself of the ability to actually enjoy what God has called you to do. Being the secret to being content is that you can do all things through Christ. Paul says, when I feel a need or desire or want, when I think I can't or I feel like I'm being shorted, I remember that I can do all things through Christ. That with Christ, I have everything I need to fulfill my purpose in this moment. Now, maybe not for tomorrow, because tomorrow hasn't come yet. And see, that's part of our difficulty as human beings. We look at tomorrow and we say, we have to have what we need tomorrow when? Today or yesterday or 6 weeks ago, because we don't want to feel that pressure. We don't want to feel that need. But you know that sometimes that need and that pressure is actually God going, rely and trust in me. A lot of times God doesn't provide it ahead of time. He provides it just in time. Because he wants us to rely on him. And Paul says, the secret to being content, the secret to still wanting to continue to be all that God's called you to be, but yet enjoying what you currently have, is realizing that you can do all things through Christ. So therefore, if there is a need in your life right now that you do not have fulfilled, one of two things is reality. It's either not what God wants for you, or you don't actually need it to do what God wants you to do right now in this moment. And so instead of always looking forward and going, I need this, God, I want this, God, I need this, God, I want this, God, and robbing ourselves of joy in the moment, going, God, I'm going to enjoy this moment, do what you've called me to do, and trust that when the time comes, you will provide all that I need. And see, that's the secret. That's why Paul says, I can be content. So if we are going to be grateful for what we have instead of craving for what we don't, we have to first remind ourselves that every good thing came from God. Second, we have to not let what I want rob me of enjoying what I have. And the final thing we need to remind ourselves or do every day is this: I will consistently celebrate what I've been given. I will consistently celebrate what I've been given. I'm going to just a little tiny thing that I would encourage you if you don't currently do it. It can become trite and trivial and habitual, and so I encourage you not to allow it to be. I'm not going to ask, but how many of you intentionally, before you eat every meal, stop and pray? Now, I'm not saying it's a habit. I'm not saying it's a ritual. I'm not saying that God has commanded that every time. But I'm saying this. That is a small and simple thing. And here's why I say that. Because when you stop on something just so routine and so mundane, like eating food, and you go, God, thank you for giving me the ability to eat this food. You're like, you could literally pray for the next hour. You're like, thank you for the teeth, and because some people don't have them. Thank you for the jaw. Thank you for the stomach that'll actually, you know, process this. Unless you're eating BW3s, then just forget it, or Hot Pockets. We're just thankful, and you just stop, and you're like, thank you, God, for this. Do you realize that that changes your perspective on what you're just shoving in your face? I know it sounds silly, But I'm telling you, when you are thankful for everything and you celebrate everything that you've been given, you're like, God, thank you for that. Do you realize your enjoyment of that item actually goes up? When you are celebrating the relationships that God has allowed to stay in your life, your enjoyment of those relationships increases. When you're constantly complaining about the relationships in your life, guess what? The joy in those relationships decrease. And so if we have an attitude that whatever comes our way, whatever we've been given, we're going to celebrate it. Now, you don't have to be, you know, the weird people that when you sit down to food and it comes, you get up and you start doing your happy dance. You're like, oh, yay, food. Thank you. But just in your heart, right? You can show gratitude to God for something so small that you take for granted, and it begins to change your perspective. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. The writer David says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, if you have notes, you can write in there, because I wrote in mine the word blessings. Because benefits sometimes is a word that, like, okay, what's that benefits? Like, does he give me a 401k and a health plan? How does this work? And so really, when we think about it in our day, it's easier to use the word blessing, right? All the things that he's blessed us with. And that's what the writer is saying. Is, listen, I'm going to go every single day, and I'm not going to forget all the blessings that God has put in my life. From the smallest things like food to the most important things like human relationships, I'm going to not forget that each and every one of them is a blessing from God. And then notice what he says. He says, who forgives all of our sins, and he heals all your diseases, who redeems you from your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. He goes, so here's the things. Let me just give you a list of some blessings that maybe just to, you know, get you spitballing a little bit here. He forgave all your sins. You are no longer a sinner. Stand condemned before God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are now clean. You are now free. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, there is now no condemnation for those who have accepted Jesus Christ. He did that for you. Yet, there are some days that we moan and whine and complain because our car won't start, and we can't remember that we've been saved from the fires of hell, and we've been placed in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we become ungrateful, and we become cranky and complaining. And I'm not like, listen, when everything goes wrong in my life, I'm always happy. No. There have been some things this week that did not go well, and I didn't go, yay! I probably would have gotten hit if I did, but you don't do that, right? Because but in your heart, when all those things start crumbling around you, that's when you cling to this. And you go, God, if you've never do another thing for me, you forgave my sins, you healed me from all of my hurts, you redeemed me and give me a new relationship, you love me with your love, and you understand, and you show compassion, you satisfy me with good things, and even when I feel like I can't walk another step, you give me the ability to take that next step. You see, sometimes we just need to stop and be reminded of all the blessings we have in our lives. Because it's really easy to allow all the negative and all the complaining and all the different things that want to just crush down on our head and remember things like, he crowns me with love. He shows me compassion. Even though I don't deserve to be forgiven, he forgave me and wants a relationship with me. Instead of being filled with ingratitude and discontentment and regret, I'm going to choose each and every day to be grateful for what I have instead of craving what I don't. And I'm going to do that by reminding myself that every good thing I have first started from the hand of God. I'm going to do that by not letting what I want rob me of enjoying what I already have. And I'm going to do that by consistently celebrating all of the good things that I've already been given. In just a moment, we're going to pray. And we're going to sing a song that we taught you about 4 months ago. It's called The Goodness of God. And this is a song that we taught because, quite frankly, we heard it about 18 months ago. We're like, man, we have got to teach that song to Friendship because it's such a powerful truth. And it begins with talking about the fact that there are times in our life where we don't feel the presence of God there. But the reality is that the goodness of God has been pursuing us our whole life. And instead of us continuing to run away from God, we need to stop and we need to turn to God. And when we look at God, we see his goodness. We see the things that he's done for us. We see his blessings. We see everything that he has provided for us that he intends for our enjoyment, God is not a God that desires us to walk through life miserable. Will there be difficult times? A unanimous. That was kind of wimpy. A unanimous. There will be tough times. And in the tough times, that's when we cling to this truth even harder. That's when we begin to look for the good instead of allowing the negative to burrow into our brain and to cause us to begin to rot from the inside out. Instead, we choose to be grateful and thankful people. Father, we thank you so much. We are humbled, first of all, that you would love us, but God, that you would lead us. You don't leave us aimless and wandering through this world. You are our champion, the one that goes before us, the one that lights the way, the one that says, follow me, I have this in store for you. And God, so many times we lose sight of you. But it's not because you walked away from us, it's because we stopped following you. God, we allowed the negativity and the complaining and the ingratitude and the unthankfulness to just well up inside of us, and it blinds our ability to see all the good things that you've done. And God, allow us today in this moment to take those things, those blinders off of our eyes, to be able to see that you are in fact a good God, a powerful God, a God who has redeemed us, a God who leads us, and a God who covers us with his goodness. We thank you so much for that, God. I pray now as we sing, this would not just be words that we sing, but rather it would be an anthem from our heart as we celebrate the fact that you are a good God and you have pursued us. We thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's